Here with the gravy, Davey.
Davey.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef. Our guest today is Silvana Rengel Duke. I'm Chef Janice Escott. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly Taylor. Welcome, Silvana.
Hi, I'm Silvana. Thanks for having me.
And Silvana is from Sol Cucina, which I always want to pronounce as Sol Cucina. So you can just correct me when I do that.
I will.
So what is the difference?
So cucina is the Italian pronunciation. In Spanish, you will say cocina, and it means kitchen in both languages. But yeah, many people do that when they come to me like, oh, Sol Cucina. And I'm like, no, it's cocina. Cucina is Italian.
And Sol being an American word.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So you were trying to combine the two.
Exactly, yeah,
cultures.
That is what I wanted. I start writing different words of things that what I wanted to be the name of my company. But I always knew that I wanted the marriage of the two languages, right? Because I live in the U.S. It's a business that was is based in the U.S., but I'm Colombian. And I wanted my my background to be present in everything I do.
Mm-hmm. So tell everyone what you do. Tell us about the company.
So Sol Cucina, it's a plant-based and gluten-free catering and products company. So what I started Sol Cucina 2 years ago, around April 2015, and I started doing catering. Everything I make is egg-free, dairy-free, basically free of any animal products. It wasn't conceived as a gluten-free company at the beginning, but everything I was making didn't contain any gluten. Mm-hmm. So I realized, like, people start looking for my products because they don't contain any gluten. So I was like, oh, what if I go, like, full on and just call it a gluten-free company as well? So it's vegan. It's vegan. I say no animal products. But the reason why I don't call it vegan but plant-based is because I believe in wholesome nutrition. I don't use any fake meats. Everything I make is based on plants, grains, and beans, legumes. That is how I basically classify my food. I always make sure that everything I make is wholesome.
And that's pretty typical of Colombia, or is that not typical?
No, it is diet? No, it is not. Latin American food is pretty heavy on meats. So what I do is I translate recipes into plant-based recipes. The stuff that I grew up eating, how I can make this in a way that doesn't need to use any animal products or animal fats. So one thing, my most popular product, I will say right now, is the tamales. And many people think it's so intrinsic in Latin American culture that if you don't see the piece of meat, it's vegetarian, even if they use lard. But because they don't see the actual, like, the flesh there, they don't see the product. They just see, like, a liquid, like an oil. They don't think in that is an animal product. It's very interesting when most of the people who help me in the kitchen is most of the people who help me in the kitchen are from Latin American countries, like Salvadorian ladies, Guatemalans. I like, because they teach me as well, right, about their cooking style, and I learn from them. So, like, they still don't understand. They still don't understand what the difference is, and I try to explain it, but it's, like, something very, very cultural.
Mm-hmm. Well, because lard, I always think of lard in tamales.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's sort of how I learned to make them. So it's sort of...
You need a heavy fat.
Yes. So what do you use instead?
Coconut oil.
Ah, okay.
Which is wonderful.
But
yeah.
You know, I have eaten your tamales, and they don't taste like coconut oil.
No, they don't. Which... No, they don't. So, like, there are different types of coconut oil also. Like, some of them are... some of them taste more like coconut oil than others, and it's depending of if they're... this is a difficult word for me to say.
Hydrogenated.
Yes, exactly.
Hydrogenated. I don't even know how to say
hydrogenated.
So we'll it's really, that word.
Yeah, that word. We all know what we're talking about.
Yes, we know.
So yeah, it depends on that.
Whether they're really fully flavored or not.
Okay. Yeah, and there are some oils. The oil I use, like definitely I open the jar and it smells like coconut oil, but once I put it in food, not really. When it's like when I use it for desserts, when it's raw, like you can definitely taste the coconut, but for the tamales, no, definitely not. Because also there is so much going on in them, like there are so many flavors that you can really taste the
oil. So Silvana, tell us about tamales. What are they?
So a tamale...
Oh, yeah, we skipped ahead.
Yeah. So tamale is the indigenous in Mayan and Aztec cultures have been eating they were eating there for millions of years, right?
Yes.
So it's corn. The base is corn. So it's like a dough. It's called in the U.S. as masa.
Mm-hmm. Which is ground up corn.
Yes,
corn.
But it's different than cornmeal. It's a different process. It's more fine.
And it has lime.
It has lime.
Not lime juice. Lime the mineral?
Yes. So it's called nixtamal. It's cal in Spanish. So it translates like lime. But it's not lime juice, not lime the fruit. No, So it's processed in a way that is very fine, almost like flour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it's normally mixed with some sort of fat, as we were discussing, like lard. In my case, I use coconut meal. Other people use, what is that, shortening? I don't like that stuff. Like something.
Hydrogenated.
Yeah. Something that doesn't go bad to me. It's not something that doesn't go bad can be good for you, basically.
Yes.
So, it's a mix and some sort of liquid. I make my own, like, broth with vegetables like carrots, onions, garlic.
So it's a vegetable broth.
It's a vegetable. So, like, the dough, the masa is, a broth of some sort, fat, and the masa, the corn flour. And then it comes with different fillings, right? The ones I use, I have one that is smoky pinto beans and plantains. I use lots of legumes. So, like, those are, that is, like, the protein that I use. Traditional tamales are mostly pork and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are a mix of, my favorite one is roasted chickpeas with bell peppers and eggplant. So, like, I use this mixture of vegetables and beans, chickpeas, or lentils to give it, like, a really, really nice flavor. And I steam them in banana leaves. Most people associate tamales with the tiny ones that you see, the Mexican tamales that are like a snack and are grabbing corn husk. I don't use corn husk. Sometimes I make chocolate tamales, and because those are a dessert, those are small size, I use the corn husk. And also I don't like the flavor that the banana leaf gives up to the chocolate ones. But for my savory ones, I always use banana leaves, and they infuse a really beautiful flavor to the tamales. I think that, like, when you open the pot, it's just like this amazing smell. And they are bigger, so like one tamale is a meal, basically. They're pretty hefty.
They're almost like 3 times the size of a Mexican tamale.
And it happens to me at the farmer's markets too, that when people see the price, they're like, oh, wow, without even see the product, you know? Like, it's a meal. Like, many people can't even finish one. They're pretty healthy. And then another big difference, and I try to explain this to people at the markets, is the tamales. Different regions, even in Colombia, have different tamales.
Mm-hmm.
But all of our tamales in Colombia are always wrapping banana leaves. In Mexico, some regions like Oaxaca, they do banana leaves, and other regions do the corn husk.
Right.
So it's just, I don't know the exact reason why people here are more familiar with the corn husk, with the ones in wrapped in corn husk.
I think that we just have them.
Yeah, those
more.
Are the ones that are available everywhere. But I don't know why the Guatemalans, I think they also use banana leaves. So I don't know what they haven't like a spread, you know, like what they have in like distribute those tamales here.
All right, we have to take a quick break, okay, and then we'll come back and finish our conversation and learn some more about tamales. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. Don't go anywhere.
Have a banana, Hannah.
Hannah.
Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. I am your host, Kelly Taylor, with my co-host, Janice Escott. And today we're talking with Silvana Rangel-Duque, although I'm probably pronouncing it some other crazy way. We've had a lot of discussions when we aren't on the air about pronunciations of words. I want Silvana to pronounce her name properly every time we come back so that maybe someone else will be able to pronounce your name properly. Tell us again.
Well, yeah.
No, but, do it the whole proper way.
So the way how I say my name is Silvana Rangel Duque.
See? Much sounds much better than my pronunciation.
No, I mean, like, when I introduce myself and I tell you, guys, this, I say Silvana Rangel Duque because if I say Silvana, people will be like, what? But if I say Silvana, people are like, oh, okay.
So to our ears.
I just try to make it easier. Yeah, it took me years of practice to learn to say my name in, like, with a different accent.
So Silvana, why do you have two last names?
So in Latin American countries, and I think in Spain as well, we have the first last name is the paternal last name, and the second one is the maternal last name. So that is what I hyphen my last names, because many people think that Rangel, which is my paternal last name, is my middle name, which is not. It's confusing. but like if I was going to, like in Colombia, people know me as Silvana Rangel, because normally you go by your first last name. But here I get called Silvana Arc, like my middle name is Rangel, and then Duque. It's a mess. When I call, like, to make a medical appointment or something, I'm always like, oh, can we do it with my phone number or something? Because they can never find me.
Oh, you have to spell it, and then you have to spell
because,
it again.
Like, no, Rangel, no, we can't find you. Duke, no, we can't find you. Well, so like I have to try different combinations for them to find me. So.
Well, we're glad we found you.
Well, I want to get back to tamales because I have actually made tamales, and I know how time-consuming and difficult they are to make. Not difficult so much as time-consuming. I had a friend who had we both had cooking schools in California, and she would call me and say, okay, come over. We're going to make tamales. And we would spend the day making those tamales. It was so much fun. But tell us more about how you make them.
So normally in Colombia, and I know in Mexico as well, it's like a Christmas tradition. You eat them for Christmas, and it's like a party to make them. My family, I remember we always order from someone. We never made them at home because it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
So the reason why it's a lot of work is because there are so many steps. And as you say, it's not difficult. Well, the consistency of the dough needs to be right. Otherwise, they're going to be like hard and unappealing.
Right.
But there are so many steps. So, for instance, for my tamales, I start with the banana leaves, right? I get them fresh, and I have to cut the stems.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a leaf, right? So I have to cut the middle, and then I have to cut them of each size for the tamale, right? Now, the worst part of making tamales with banana leaves is when they rip. That is what takes a lot of time, and then you have to... and then you have to put like two or three leaves so they don't, when you are steaming them, they don't start to fall apart. And this is another funny story that I have. People sometimes think that some tamales are bigger than others. They're all the same size. But because they have more leaves, they look huge. But they are all the same size.
Inside.
Exactly. I was weighing them, but like I measure now, and all of them are the same. But some of them look huge, and there's some small. But it's because the leaves for the smallest ones, they behave better. So like that is the first step to get
the. Have to soak the leaves.
Yes,
steam
them. Yeah, because otherwise they will be very hard. So I have to steam them.
To soften them.
Yeah, to soften them up, and then wait until they cool down. In the meanwhile, I make my So whatever I'm putting in them, right? So for the chickpeas, I don't buy beans from a can. I mm-hmm. don't like the way they taste. Mm-hmm. And I always find that is something odd about them. Mm-hmm. Like a chickpea that you eat from the can is like so flavorful. But when you cook it and you eat it, it's not. So that is not just a, you're not giving me just a chickpea, a cooked mm-hmm. chickpea. No, there is something else in here.
Yes.
So I have to soak my beans, pressure cook them. So that is a lot of work.
You soak them overnight?
Yeah, sometimes I do, or sometimes I do a quick soak. Mm-hmm. I do it overnight. But that means and this is another thing that I would like to clarify. Many people at the markets ask me like, oh, so you cook from your home. And that is not allowed. No. You have to use a commercial kitchen.
Yes.
There are some exceptions to that, like for baked woods. Like you can have an in-home license, but for anything else.
But even within that, there's a lot of rules
of
what
lot.
You can bake.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, there are lots of rules uh-huh. about food preparation.
Yes. Yes.
And Silvana is following them.
Yeah. So I use a commercial kitchen, but sometimes like soaking the beans means like I have to go to the kitchen to soak them. You know, it takes 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I use this quick soak method and it's... I boil the beans for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Set them aside for an hour, mm-hmm. and then I cook them. So that is a method that I use. Or sometimes I use the pressure cooker. When I use the pressure cooker, I don't even soak them. Like, I just cook them for, like, 50 minutes, mm-hmm. like, straight from the back.
Mm-hmm. Pressure cookers are great, and people are really
people
scared
are very
of
afraid.
Them.
I remember growing up, my mom, like, I always feel like that. And I was terrified because you really needed to know how to use it, or you could burn your entire house, or or even neighborhood. Those things are pretty serious, but then the pressure cookers nowadays... are very,
very
easy
safe.
To use. Yes,
they're very safe. They have a locking mechanism
that keeps them from
anything happening.
Exactly. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but the pressure cooker, I recommend if you haven't given it a try, do it because it's an amazing piece of equipment.
It cuts your cooking time dramatically.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I think people are still very afraid of it. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about things like beans that mm-hmm. take a long time mm-hmm. to cook, it is well mm-hmm. worth investing in one.
Yes.
And especially when you have to rent a commercial kitchen to make your product.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you don't have
And it cuts
time.
Way back mm-hmm. on the time for mm-hmm. you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And people can use your technique too for the quick soak if
yes.
you don't soak
Even
your beans.
If you don't have mm-hmm. a pressure cooker, the quick soak also mm-hmm. works for just cooking them in a regular pot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I often forget to soak my beans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I do the quick soak and mm-hmm. it works. I think it might be a little different. Like in the end, the little, like how long it takes to cook them.
Yeah, it probably takes a little longer.
But it's mm-hmm. still pretty good because for people like me who never remember to put the beans out the night
before. Another thing that I do, if your beans are a little hard, I add baking soda.
Yes. So
and I also actually also helps with digestion too, because for some people, beans can be really hard on their digestive system. Baking soda helps with those mm-hmm. issues, like with bloating that comes from the beans.
Mm-hmm. How much baking soda?
I boil it. Like, you don't need much. Yeah, just like a teaspoon or depends. Like, if you're cooking two cups of beans, one teaspoon. If you're cooking more than that, a tablespoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not much. I mean. Mm-hmm.
I know that in Mexico, they add epazote.
Epazote, yeah. I normally, if I add epazote, I don't, because like my recipes for my tamales are standardized now. Mm-hmm. I don't use epazote, but yeah, like epazote, you can do that too. Definitely.
But you got to find it here.
You mm-hmm. find, yeah, like I know a couple of places where you can find it. Yerba Santa, they also use it.
Mm-hmm. So do you use the beans whole when you are making them, or do you mash them?
No, I use them whole.
You see,
when you open one of my tamales, you see like they are
like actual beans in there.
And mm-hmm. I have another funny story about tamales. I remember I was at one farmer's market, and this lady came and she got a tamale for lunch. She asked me like, "Are these vegetarian?" And I said, "Yes, they're in fact vegan." And I know we everyone who sells a food product always it's terrified when see someone coming back. And this lady was coming back, like she was obviously upset about something. When I saw her walking back, and I was like, "Oh no, what?" when she came to me, she was like, there is meat in this tamal. And I was like,
no, I
wasn't expecting that. That was funny. I mean, like, I was like, yeah, I can deal with this. So I was like, no, that is no meat in there. So it's a tamale that I make with lentils, but the lentils, I don't smash them, but they become almost like a paste, sort of.
We have to take a break, but that is hilarious. We'll come back in just a minute.
Finish that story.
Salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, Davy.
Davy.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
We're back. This is Say Yes to the Chef. I'm Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Ascott, and this is WCHL 97.9. Today, our guest is Silvana Rangel Duque.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a major improvement.
It's not getting better. I'm trying. She's with Sol Cucina.
And oh, wow.
I didn't pronounce it Italian. Yeah. I pronounced it kind of correct. And we're talking about everything that she makes. And when we took a break, we were just hearing a very funny story about when you were selling your tamales at the farmer's market, which is where you can be found. We should say that.
Yeah. So I do the Carboro farmer's market once a month. I also do the Triangle Veg Fest monthly market, which is once a month as well as the third Sunday of each month. We rotate between full steam, and now we're going to start doing it in Chapel Hill.
Where?
Slipping my mind. The break, I will look.
Yeah,
okay. It's at some square.
Okay.
And, I will look.
Okay. Sorry. And we were talking before we took a break that you had a customer at the farmer's market. And so Silvana makes plant-based food, no meat. Mm-hmm. And one of your customers came back unhappy because she thought that you were tricking her and putting meat in your tamale.
So she asked me, is this vegetarian? And I was like, yeah, this is in fact vegan. And she was like, okay. So she left and a couple of minutes later, she was walking towards me and she looked like she was really upset. She was visibly upset and she was like carrying the tamale and I was like, oh no, terrified. I didn't know what to expect. And then she's like, there is meat in this tamale. And I was like, no. And she was like, yeah, this is meat. And I told her, like, I don't eat meat. I never buy meat. You will never find meat in my kitchen. I'm telling you, like, there is no meat. And, like, she kept kind of, like, stirring it and, like, taking bites. And she was like, no, there is meat. And I was like, no, I just saw you. Like, there is no meat in there. Like, I make them myself. I can't tell you that there is no meat. And she left. She didn't look totally convinced, though. She wasn't totally convinced. But
you were using lentils, which is really a good... people are... They use lentils when you're trying to make something that has a good texture and a good consistency. Because part of the problem, I think, when you stop eating meat is that you miss the
consistency.
You know, like
the healthiness.
You want to have something a little heartier. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that you have something inside that is heartier.
Yeah. And I came up with this for, I have four varieties right now of tamales. And I think the combinations are so wonderful that they don't make you, that people don't really miss the meat in them. Mm-hmm. My customers at the farmer's market, probably 90% of them are meat eaters. Mm-hmm. And that is one of my main goals with Sol Cucina, to show people that plant-based food can be really interesting and flavorful and delicious, and you are not missing out on anything, really, because the flavors are there.
Right.
I mean, vegetables are very flavorful. So, and beans, like those combinations are wonderful. And I know it's a funny story, but it makes me really happy at the same time to know that, this is so good and that people really think that there is meat in them when it's not.
It is a good story. And we haven't said your website yet, Sol Cucina. It's SolCucinaTriangle.com. Mm-hmm. And you have a Facebook page and an Instagram with the same. With the same, what is it called? Handle. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm still far behind the times.
I have no idea what I will call that, but yeah, same name.
So, Sofiana, tamales I know is your specialty, but do you make other?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, basically, when I do catering, And this is one reason why I don't have a price list for my catering services on my website, because I prefer to get a sense of what type of event you are having. And I normally present 3 or 4 options with different prices depending of the event you will be hosting, right? Mm-hmm. I do a variety of things. I was a guest chef at the Durand Cup in the month of January, and every week I was varying my menu. I make polenta lasagna with mushrooms, salads. Another thing that is one of my best sellers at the markets is pasteles de yuca. So, people sometimes are afraid of new things, so they buy the tamales because they kind of knew what a tamale is, but the pasteles, in my opinion, I like them better. Yuca, and this is another thing that happens, I think I told you this, it's Y-U-C-A. People misspell it like Y-U-C-C-A, yes. And that is a plant that grows here. So when people tell, and yuca, like the yuca I use, the edible one, grows in tropical weather.
So they're two different plants.
Yes,
the yuca
exactly.
With two C's mm-hmm. is not edible.
No, and you can find that one in North Carolina. So some people tell me like, oh, I have yuca in my backyard. And I'm like,
don't eat it.
It's not the same. So yuca is a root vegetable similar to potatoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny looking. It's kind of ugly. It's like this big root is really hard and the heart of it is really hard. You have to take it out. So the way I make the pasteles de yuca is I peel the yuca, I boil it.
Is the yuca brown on the outside?
No, it's white.
White
it's very white. It's very white.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. I knew the inside was white.
The outside is brown.
Okay.
The outside is brown.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin is really, really thick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I boil it and then I mash it with some spices and that creates the dough. Mm-hmm. For the pasteles. So the way how I describe it is like an empanada in the sense that it's a pocket.
Okay.
But empanadas are normally made with flour.
Right.
Although in Colombia, we made empanadas with the same masa that we use for the tamales, but they're fried. And I don't, because again, I believe in wholesome nutrition, yeah. I don't fry anything.
Mm-hmm.
So my pasteles are oven roasted and they come, the filling is red lentils, brown rice, and spinach. And the outside is crispy. It's really good.
Sounds delicious.
It's really
it does.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are they like the size of a...
Each one is like half a pound. They're pretty healthy too. Like okay. The size of a tamale, basically.
Mm.
So it's
the size of a... Not your tamale.
No, the size of my tamale.
Oh, a big. Yeah. That's
yeah.
big tamale.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, it's like the size of probably 3 small empanadas. Like the size of tamales. It's a pretty healthy.
And tell us again the name of it.
Pasteles. So pastel, like the color, like pastel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Pastel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So, but for us in Colombia, because I know like different countries, different Spanish speaker countries use words in different ways. So for us. A pastel means like a cake or a pastry.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a pastry.
Right.
But like a savory pastry.
Cool.
But it's more than a pastry because it's huge. So it's like 2 pastries.
That is a whole meal.
Yeah, that is what is plural. Pasteles rather than pastel. So
one is plural.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it's 2 in 1.
That's funny.
Oh, sorry. I forgot where I was. So, yeah, those are the pasteles, and I always roast them, and they're pretty delicious, too.
That sounds delicious.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be moving into the Blue Dogwood Public Market with us all, and you'll be serving what there?
So, my menu will be the tamales,
mm-hmm.
the pasteles. And the pasteles, one thing that is a little frustrating to me is when I sell at the markets, I oven roast them and they look beautiful and crispy. But I take them and I grab them in aluminum foil and I put them in a hot box.
Mm-hmm.
A hot box is like it's like this box that keeps food at temperature, right?
Mm-hmm.
but they, like, the heat kind of, like, steams them a little, and they're not as crispy as I want them to be. People still love them. So one thing I'm very excited about Blue Dogwood is people would eat them at their very, very best, right, because they will be fresh right off the oven.
Right, nice and crispy.
Exactly. I mean, the people still like, but because they don't know what they taste like when they're fresh out of the oven, and even the color, everything is just like...
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it's pretty hard to keep something warm and crispy.
Yes.
Out of the oven when you have to wrap it.
Yes.
Because that's what you have to do to serve it at the market.
To be able to serve it warm.
But then you're steaming it, and then it just kind of takes away all of the crispy yumminess of it.
Yeah, it's still pretty good because, like, the yuca, I think it tastes better than potatoes, and potatoes are pretty good.
Yeah, they are pretty good. So, we have to take another break.
Yeah.
You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef and WCHL 97.9. We will be back in just a few minutes for some more great discussion and some education. Don't go anywhere.
Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, Davey.
Davey.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. I'm Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott, and our guest today is Silvano Rangel Duque. I'm going to say it French because I got in trouble for saying it Italian. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. And just giving her a hard time of Sol Cucina, and which the website, if you want to go up and check out what she makes, you should do that. It's Sol Cucina, which is SOULCOCINA.com. She has a Facebook page and an Instagram page under the same name. And we were just leaving off on our conversation before the break about her new retail spot where you can find her more often. Currently, you find her at the Farmers Markets in Durham. Right?
And no, in Carrboro.
In Carrboro.
Carrboro once a month.
Carrboro, and then also, you can find all this probably on your website too,
yes,
where you'll be.
Yeah, so like I update my website monthly, where the places that I will be, because I'm always rotating between markets. The next winter season at Durham Farmers Market, I will be there every Saturday as well.
Okay, great. And then you are going to be opening up a permanent spot. People can find you during the week on Wednesday through Sunday at the Blue Dogwood Public Market, which we're happy about. And we left off talking about your menu, and I'm sure we didn't cover it all because we've only talked about two things. So tell us what else you have planned to be selling.
Okay,
Blue Dogwood is, by the way, in downtown Chapel Hill on Franklin Street, 306
West
Franklin Street.
Yes. So we already covered the tamales, the pasteles, the yuca. I also will be selling, which I'm currently selling at the markets too, is sweet potato and plantain empanadas. Very similar concept to the pasteles because there is no flour. The outside is made with sweet potatoes, with local sweet potatoes and plantains. And
that is interesting.
Dressed potatoes, yeah, they're really good.
The dough is made from sweet potatoes and plantains. That is fascinating.
Wholesome again.
I've had an empanada made with. I've made a lot of empanadas, but I don't think I've ever had one made. I've had one with plantain dough, but not sweet potatoes in it. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so like I start making some. With potatoes, with sweet potatoes or with plantains, and when I mix the two together, and I also put some roasted potatoes in there, I was like, oh, this is the best combination of all. And then the inside is a veggie barbacoa that I use, I make using carrots and cabbage, and the consistency is like seriously like...
It's like pull apart barbecue or something.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
So fascinating.
Uh-huh. And they are small. Those are small. Those are like a snack size. You need a couple of them, definitely. This is just a snack. And then the fourth thing that I will be having is arepas.
Arepas,
yeah. I was selling them yesterday at the Full Steam, and I always sell out on those as well.
So tell people what they are.
Arepa is, it's a mix between a pita pocket and
a pita pocket.
Yeah, it's a mix between a pita pocket and a tortilla. Uh-huh. Because it's a pocket made with corn mass as well, but they taste way better than tortillas. I maybe buy it because I grew up eating them.
Yes.
But they're delicious. Everyone loves them. And then I have different options for fillings too. Like at the Blue Dog, what I'm going to have black beans with plantains and greens. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use microgreens. And then I'm going to have jackfruit carnitas. I don't know if you guys know what jackfruit
is.
Yes,
yeah.
So it pulls apart really well as well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to have specials. Another thing I think I'm going to have is every week I'm going to have a different salsa. For people come and try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like different combinations. So like, even if it's the same menu, people will feel like, I haven't tried the salsa this week, so I will be there.
And that's really fun to play with seasonally. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Available.
Yeah, exactly. And like seasonal and all of that. So like those four products are the core of Soul Cocina at Blue Dogwood. Of course, we will have more specials and seasonal stuff. I'm going to have a grab-and-go cooler. So, like, if you like the arepas, you can take the arepas and make them at home and just put inside whatever fillings you want.
Can you do that? No, do you normally make an arepa on a griddle?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, on a griddle. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking.
So, like, so I think because many people probably are not familiar with arepas, like, if you're not in the food war or, you know, like... but once they have them there, they try them, they love them, they see how they are made. Of course, they will come with heating instructions, so like people can take them home and just have them for dinner.
So you already do pre-cook them, and then
just need to griddle them, to put them in the griddle for 5 to 10 minutes. Hmm. That is it.
That's great because they're much better right off the griddle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everything is much better.
Yes.
Right?
And arepas, and because they're made with corn like dries out very
it gets
fast.
Harder.
Yeah, so like you don't want them pre-cooked, definitely not. And it takes
That's
seriously,
why I was wondering how you pulled that
minutes.
Off.
It takes 10 minutes. It's all it takes.
It's fast food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is fast food.
My good fast food.
Well, it takes a lot of time to make, but it's very convenient for you to take home in that sense.
It's for the customer.
Yeah,
it's
for
fast
the customer.
For you,
it's
not.
No, for me, it's not. Like the same with the tamales. You can reheat them in the microwave.
Right.
In like 3 minutes. And it took me 6 hours to make them. Something crazy. But
that works good for that because it steams and keeps it moist in the banana leaf.
Uh-huh.
So that works fine for people to do quickly in the microwave. Yeah, how interesting. Well,
yeah, the only thing all of that is on the label. Like I recommend people to put a cup of water in the microwave so it creates the steaming effect in the microwave and they don't dry out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they taste way better when they are steamed, but some people take them to work.
Mm-hmm.
And all they have is a microwave.
Right, right.
And I'm sure they have like mugs or like water in a mug and then.
Have you ever tried to wrap them in a wet towel and then microwave them?
Yes.
You can definitely
do that, but like for people it's more convenient just a cup of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at work, imagine just like finding a towel and then
or
you
like
have
a paper towel because you've got it around banana leaf, so it's still not touching your food really.
Yeah.
But if you have like a paper towel or something,
but like
I found
the easiest one, it was the cup of water in the microwave. It works really well.
Cool. Well, you are going to have an upcoming event. You were talking about earlier that you are at the Triangle Veg Fest, which is monthly, normally in Durham, and that you are going to be in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, so the Veg Fest is, there is a big event. This year is going to be in August, and it's going to be at the Armory in Durham on August, let me find it here, August 28th, I believe.
Okay.
It'll be on your
website.
August 27th. Yeah. Okay. But then we have a monthly market, and the monthly market is super fun because I get to serve brunch.
Ah.
So
yes.
Every month I offer something different. We were yesterday at Full Steam, and we had the arepas. And actually, it's very cute because my mom is the one who grills the arepas.
Oh,
nice. It's adorable. And then, like, I had chilaquiles in red salsa. With a bunch of toppings. And the next one is coming on April 23rd in Southern Village.
In
Chapel Hill. Yeah, so it starts at 12:45. It's a little bit for brunch, a little bit late for brunch, but the reason why is because at Full Steam they do yoga before that. So we decided just to stick to the
same
time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so the next one is April 23rd. I'm going to be at Carrboro Farmers Market on April 15th.
Okay.
And then you will find all the delicious products that we were talking about, tamales, arepas, pasteles de yuca, all of that. Sorry, no arepas. No, I don't bring arepas there because they dry up.
Yeah, we had that discussion.
Yeah, we had that discussion, but I bring the empanadas and I normally bring a dessert too.
Wow.
And yeah.
And we have just about 30 seconds left or so, but you do have a possible meal delivery
service. Oh, yeah. So, like, I will be updating my website on social media in the next couple of days. We are in, we are in the process of starting start delivering meals in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, follow us on Facebook or Instagram for updates on that.
Definitely.
And the website again?
Soul Cucina.
Triangle.com.
SOULCOCINA and then triangle.com.
Mm-hmm. And all right. Same for social media.
Great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I learned so much today. I really did. And can't wait to eat these wonderful things. Please like us on our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to previous podcasts of this program, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking, Janice.
Happy cooking, Savannah.
Happy cooking, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.